I would love to see Mark Greinke. That would be fucking lit. If you got him behind the bench.
He got fired, right?
Yeah, he got fired as an assistant coach in Pittsburgh,
exactly,
my guy.
Exactly, dude. Exactly. That's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about.
Welcome to Celts and Seltzers, the basketball podcast network podcast hosted by me, Chris Gear, and I have no co-hosts. Just kidding. This is a Bruins podcast. We have real Bruins news.
Big Bruins news, Chris. Big Bruins news. You know what that is?
What's the big news, Cam?
The big news is that they signed Juuna Koponen to a one-year, two-way contract for $750,000. This is going to be an hour-and-a-half-long episode on the Juuna Koponen signing.
All right, we also got Drew. Hey, Drew.
Oh, hey. How's it going?
It's going real good. So I'm frustrated about some things, boys.
What are you frustrated about, Chris?
I'm real frustrated.
Oh, no. So
the number one thing. As you know that I've been going through this over the past 10 seconds. Zoom. We need to get back on StreamYard. Zoom absolutely ruins my computer. I don't have my regular microphone. Cam and I are both having trouble pouring our beers properly.
So bad. Mine, like, I just stopped and restarted, and I didn't understand. I was like, there's no way with that pour it should have foamed up that much.
Everything is bad right now. Fuck, everything right now sucks. It burns all over again.
For the real ones.
Yeah, let's do beers first, and then we'll talk about Butch.
If I can ever get to the fucking beer, I will.
Drew, you first. Drew is currently a bear cub or something. I don't
know. Yeah, and I'm high above high the above ice. The ice. I have... Oh, it doesn't show you the beer. I have Viridian IPA with Citra, Summit, and Azaka hops.
I'm not gonna lie, that can looked fucking sick.
Yeah, dude, it's I've had this before. I think Cam has had this on the podcast. Have you or no?
Which one is it? I was.
It's Bandit Brewing, the Viridian IPA.
Maybe I've hit Bandit a few times, but not recently. So,
alrighty. Well, it's brewed out in Biddeford, Maine, 6%. Let's start with drinkability. Drinkable enough, especially in the shower. We're gonna give it a 28 for good old Mark Greinke, and tasteability. I'm gonna give it a 28 again for future Boston Bruins head coach Mark Greinke.
All right. Nice. I've got a Cellar Maker Brewing Company Mo Nelson IPA. This one also has a pretty sick can. It is a singular hop set on a black and purple background, all in mosaic form. And apparently the Mo stands for mosaic, which I read on the side because I am really smart and know what mosaics look like, and figured, why would you name a Nelson hop beer, or why would you put mosaics on the can of a Nelson hop beer? It made no sense to me until I read about it, and it says Mo equals mosaic. This series of two hop beers explores how mosaic pairs well with other hops. With its unique piney, dank, tropical fruit aromas and flavor, Mosaic creates a profile which could easily be enjoyed as a single hop beer. Yet, it excels in conjunction with an array of attributes from other hops. Yeah, first taste, pretty good.
But the second. The second one that counts.
Yeah, here's the thing. Tasteability pretty low, honestly, for all the things it just said on the side over there. I'm getting mostly like, it's a 6.8%, so it's not a session IPA, but I'm getting real session IPA feels from it. Like, there's some flavor there, but the depth isn't really there. Let's go Let's give it the Charlie Coil. We got a 13 tastability. Drinkability, 19. It's like pretty drinkable for an IPA, but also like, you know, if you're gonna be 6.8% alcohol, bring the flavor.
I like it.
Yeah, it sounds like I've got a similar beer here. It's the Day Trip Session IPA from Geary Brewing Company. I was gonna say, I actually also think this one was a session. I didn't realize it said it on the can, but glad my taste confirmed it. Very similar color to the one you got over there, Chris. Anyway, this is kind of unique. It's only a 4% IPA. You don't really see that going around too much, but it says it's for the days that a full-bodied IPA is too much and a Pilsner just won't cut it. Day Trip is the beer you want on those warm summer days in Maine. They're getting there. It's 75 degrees out. No, it's actually been pretty hot lately, but today was pretty cold, pretty cool. Cool, calm, both. Anyway, here's the beer.
Qualm,
which is another word. Pretty hoppy.
It is another word.
Pretty hoppy, not too much flavor, honestly. I'm thinking the same thing. It's going to be like a 10 on tasteability. Drinkability. A decent, but it's like mostly hop, so I don't know. There's not too much to support the hop flavor. So I'm going to go a tasteability like a... or drinkability. I already said tasteability. Drinkability like a 13. More Charlie Coyle. It's the Charlie Coyle party. Future number one center, Charlie Coyle. All right. That's good.
Oh, boy. All right. So, yeah. Which
kind of segues into the next point.
Yeah. So, Friday news dump. We got all the bad news. Well, I guess most of the bad news in one day. And they saved some for today. Brad Marchand, Charlie McAvoy, Mikey Riley, all getting surgeries.
Grizz.
Grizz, another surgery guy. Bergeron, another surgery guy, but he is apparently got a shorter recovery time. Yeah, so it looks like the Bruins are going to go into the season next year with the highly diminished lineup, depending on who they end up signing. Mm-hmm. We got a lot to talk about there, but the big news we'll talk about off the top, just announced today as of this recording, yesterday as of the release of this episode, Bruce Cassidy, no longer the head coach of the Boston Bruins. Thoughts?
We want you to be the next head coach of the Boston Bruins, dear listener.
Okay. I thought that was it.
Real fun stuff.
I thought that was it. Is that it? Or
well, no, you jumped in with the arm. I was going to let you run with it. Yeah.
Yeah.
This fucking bear.
The bear is killing me, man. It's so good.
So I think it was the best move. I think it was the best move they could have made. No. I think they were in the situation. Sweeney was in the situation where it was him or Cassidy. So there was going to be a change off the ice. There was going to be a change in management and coaching or something. I think Sweeney probably just saw it as in, like, it's me or him. Honestly, I think ownership really was seeking a big change like that. I don't think that's the right decision. I think maybe you get rid of Sweeney if you have to get rid of anyone, in my opinion. But yeah, no, that was stupid. You have a fucking fantastic coach who led this team to a Stanley Cup final. More nights than not, he seems to be getting the best out of his guys, the most out of his players. I don't get it, other than like the politics of it behind the scenes.
Yeah, I mean, it's entirely politics. Look at the statement that that Sweeney put out. He said, "Today I informed Bruce Cassidy that I was making a head coaching change. After 14 years working with Bruce, this was an extremely difficult decision. I want to thank and acknowledge Bruce for all his work and success with the Bruins organization. His head coaching record with the Bruins is impressive, and we are appreciative of Bruce both professionally and personally. After taking some time to fully digest everything, I felt that the direction of our team for both this season and beyond would benefit from a new voice." I think Cassidy's, or I think Sweeney's right. I think it would benefit from a new voice. The issue was that Cassidy's voice was not the one they needed to go. It was probably somebody else in the front office, be it Neely or Sweeney. I don't know. I mean, you look at this, just the numbers. They don't lie. Under Cassidy, for his 5 years that he was here, the Bruins had a .671 winning percentage, second best in the league behind only the Tampa Bay Lightning. It's just one of those things where, what were you expecting from him? I mean, like, you gave him a pretty mediocre roster after, you know, you got the first line and pretty much one good top pairing, and that's about it as far as, you know, realistic playoff worthy depth goes. And I think the Bruins played about to their potential this year and probably a little bit better. And I think Cassidy had a lot to do with that. And Drew's right. It seems like it's one of those things where it's just strictly the politics off the ice, and you hate to see that kind of thing, because you know he's gonna get snatched up somewhere else, and in 3 years we're gonna be looking around saying, you know, why didn't we keep that guy around?
Yeah, I guess the two things I'll add, not necessarily as counterpoints, but maybe as like differing opinions that aren't necessarily my opinion, but maybe a different way to look at things. One, it could be that like some of the players were kind of just sick of Cassidy. Like, yeah, maybe I don't really like the lost the room term, but maybe just some guys were getting tired of that one voice, kind of like the Barry Trotz thing. Like, when you see a really good coach get fired, it feels like there's got to be another reason. And yeah, the obvious reason is that the Bruins needed to blame somebody, and Sweeney didn't want that to be him, so they got rid of Cassidy. But I mean, if you're looking at it and you're thinking, all right, David Krejci's coming into town to do some thinking and drink some beers. Patrice Bergeron's doing some thinking about whether he wants to return or not. Jake DeBrusk has openly requested a trade because he wasn't getting along with Cassidy. Maybe those are some things that you factor in when you're thinking, all right, maybe if we have a chance to retool this roster a little bit and maybe improve there, maybe want to hang on to some of the guys we have already, maybe bring back some guys who were there before who kind of wanted to get out of there because they weren't really enjoying Cassidy. And I guess the other thing is, I think we were all kind of on the same page about the Claude Julien firing too. I think we all kind of liked him, and I mean, it's not always going to work out every time you bring in a new voice, but kind of felt like Cassidy was an extension of the same kind of philosophy. And you know, maybe there's someone out there who will provide a similar service and just be kind of like a fresh, different voice in the room. Regardless, I think a lot of people are doing the sky is falling thing just because there are so many things up in the air right now, and taking away a good head coach doesn't seem like the right move at the time. But maybe if this is the thing that kind of gets those things to fall into place, I'm not going to be too mad about it. And I don't want to sit here.
Go ahead. My point's stupid. You'll hear in a bit.
I don't want to sit here and pretend like Bruce Cassidy is like the best coach in the league or my favorite coach or anybody who I've never questioned any of the decisions he's made. So yeah, I'm not too broken up. I think he's a good coach. I think he's a good guy. Like, so obviously it hurts. And yeah, you're going to see some takes out on Twitter. And I think a lot of them are going to be a little irrational and kind of overblowing the case here. It's not time to like blow up the team just because a few players haven't signed yet, and if a couple of players are injured at the beginning of the season and there's going to be a new coach, like maybe things will fall into place and it won't be that bad.
Yeah. I will say that's like the one angle I guess I can support, and I'll be disappointed, I guess, if they like bring in another Bruce Cassidy type, if that makes sense. Cause I that's the angle I can get behind, is like, hey, we generally, you know, think you're a good coach and stuff. It's just, we're deciding we want to build a roster that plays to a different skill set or a different style play. And, you know, that's just not Cassidy's thing. So if they bring in somebody else who's like, you know, a Bruce Cassidy type, I'll be a little bit upset about it. But, you know, if they do make a change and try to implement a new playing style, and, you know, obviously there's going to be changes in any head coaching change, but if they kind of make a more dramatic twist and try to buy into something else, I think that'll make a little bit more sense. So, you know, we'll give it a few weeks or whatever it's going to take to bring, I can't imagine be more than that, but to bring somebody else on board and then kind of, I think, reevaluate then once we have a better idea of what they're trying to do.
Yeah, I just want to offer my mom's opinion here. She said, can't be easy to find a new coach as qualified, but I do hear that after a while, players stop listening to their coach. That's why their last coach was fired. Couldn't motivate the team anymore.
There you go. That's a pretty good take.
Shouts Claudia.
That's Claudia Julien. Wait, what?
Here, I'll give my family group chat's reaction to the fire.
Everybody text your mom about the Bruce Cassidy trade.
My cousin Eric started off at 7:05, fuck, and then followed up in all caps, fuck. And then my uncle said they fire Cassidy, and Eric said yes.
Fuck. Everybody said fuck.
And then my uncle said, I think it's a big mistake. My other uncle said, oh boy. And then my dad's cousin said, fuck, I don't like it at all. So I think that I haven't seen anyone really out there who's been like, oh yeah, that's the right move. I really haven't. And usually there is some polarizing stuff in Bruins Twitter and realms.
My dad seemed nonplussed, but also said sometimes you have to do something, and then asked who was available, said no to Barry Trotz, and said if they want to shake it up, find a young AHL or even a college coach. And I kind of agree with that. If you're gonna move somebody like Cassidy out, just like getting a different voice in there who's basically like the same kind of guy, and I don't mean like the same, I definitely want somebody who has the same kind of philosophies as Cassidy. I want the kind of guy who also his players get tired of him after a couple seasons.
Yeah, I would love to see Mark Recchi. That would be fucking lit. If you got him behind the bench.
He got fired, right?
Yeah, he got fired as an assistant coach in Pittsburgh,
exactly,
my guy.
Exactly, dude. Exactly. That's what I'm talking about. He's on the market. Bergeron and Marchie just fucking rope him in and be like, Bergeron will be like, I'll give it another go with Recchi. And then David Krejci will be like, all right, I'll be an assistant player coach.
Honestly, like,
let's go.
You're probably not far off on what some of the thinking is there. Like, that could absolutely be a thing that Sweeney and Neely are thinking, like, oh yeah, we could get Mark Recchi in here. That'll keep Bergeron around. Mm-hmm. I think that's a dumb, short-sighted move, but yeah.
I think it would be great. He's one of my favorites.
Maybe Bergeron's going to be the head coach.
Yeah, player coach. I'm telling you, they should go that route. That'd be great. Is that still legal? Is that still technically legal to have a player coach?
Why not? Yeah, why not?
It'd be funny if you could like pay him a coach's salary and then like a player salary. So like he's making $5 million as a coach and then 1.5 as a player.
He's got signing like appearance bonuses for himself.
He's got a hidden Selkie and Jack Adams clause. So if he wins both in 1 year, then he gets an extra $5 million.
Yeah. I had another really smart salient point that I definitely still remember. So nice. Someone
just
talk
assume
while I'm
it was both smart
that.
And salient. Yeah. Oh. We shouldn't be silent and make it awkward for you.
Yeah, we could do that too.
Oh, wait. Hey, I'll just drink some beers. It is time. Do you know what it's time for? Do you fucking understand me right now? Welcome, everybody. Hockey fans, the pursuit for the Stanley Cup is on, and DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL, has an unbelievable offer for the most exciting playoffs in sports. New customers can bet $5 on any team to win and get $100 in free bets no matter what. Win or lose, looking to turn a small bet into a big payday during the playoffs with DraftKings same game parlays. You can do just that. Create your own parlay by combining multiple bets like which team will win, how many goals will be scored, and more. It's your shot at an even bigger payout. DraftKings is safe, secure, and reliable. Best of all, you can deposit and withdraw your cash whenever you want. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use promo code THPN, bet $5 on any NHL team to win, and get $100 in free bets no matter what. That's code THPN at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL. Minimum age and eligibility restrictions apply. See show notes for details. Yes, feel sweat. The sweat. Chris, was that enough time for you to remember what you were?
No.
Good. All right. We are sponsored by DraftKings. Hockey fans.
Let's keep it, run it back, baby.
Yeah, I guess, as far as the Cassidy stuff goes, that's probably all we need to discuss. We'll keep touching on it as we go through the off season and kind of figuring out what the Bruins are up to. And I think a big part of who they choose as their coach is going to be what their plan is. Like, is Bergeron retiring? Are they going into the tank? I mean, I think their roster is a little too talented at this point to consider actually tanking for some of those top players. Obviously, it's a loaded draft class next year. Mm-hmm.
Connor Bedard.
Yeah, not guys who pass the name test, like Rutger McGroarty.
Dude, but that would be sick. That would be awesome. They should just go off names alone. We should do that sometime for some off-season content. We do like a draft preview, but it's just the best names. It's not the best prospects. We should do that. That'd be good.
I guess one of the things, I don't think this was the thing I was going to talk about, but one of the things that I had heard a lot of people talking about on Twitter is okay, so a lot of the Bruins are going to be on injured reserve to start the season. That gives them cap space to sign free agents. And yeah, that's totally true, unless you want any of those players coming back and playing in the regular season.
Like, what do you mean? You can't, it's not like the salary cap only starts at the first game or counts in the one game of the season.
So yeah, if you want to Kucherov Marchand and have him sit the whole season, play the playoffs, then sure, go out and sign Nazem Kadri or whatever. But for now, Bruins are still capped out.
Nazem Kadri is done for the final, which sucks. And if he's on a recovery, but if the Bruins selected him, it'd be the same thing. He'd be the Kucherov.
He broke his finger or something, right?
Yeah. Dude, fucking Mike Riley with bone fragments in his ankle. Like, that's fucking nuts, skating around with that shit. Like, what?
I mean, it's pretty funny. Like, the two Bruins defensemen who had, like, the worst second halves and, like, were getting the most shit about it were Mike Riley and Matt Grizzlick. And turns out sometimes, you know, they got something else going on.
Being injured, yeah.
But yeah, I guess number one thing I want to talk about all those injuries is not necessarily the impact on Patrice Bergeron's decision, because I think we've watched Bergeron for so many years. This man is like Tom Brady level competitive. He's just not an asshole about it. He's like willing to do anything for his team to win. I don't think this is the type of guy who's like looks at a roster and says, hey, like a couple of my buddies are out for the first couple months of the season, I guess I quit. I think he sees that and goes, all right, my team needs me. I'm going to be in there, if anything. But I think the biggest issue is the cap situation. And what you want to do if you're the Bruins front office is relieve some of that cap and take some redundant players and maybe move them. And two of those redundant players are both hurt at the same time, Mike Riley and Matt Grizzlick. And I think Matt Grizzlick was the one that was looking like the more likely to fetch some decent return and relieves more of your cap situation. And now he's out for the first couple months of the season, and it makes trading him either more difficult or receiving anything in return for him more difficult.
Yeah. I don't have much to add to it. That's a pretty good take. Yeah.
Fuck yeah, boys.
Fuck yeah, boys. Fucking pucks deep, pucks to the net, full 60, fucking early and often, boys. Let's get it. Drew, anything from
that's what we call a perfect there? Shift out here.
Yeah.
Anything on what? I grabbed a new beer, so I
oh, hell yeah.
What, 30 to 45 second shifts on and off.
Fuck yeah, boys.
Do we have time for listener questions? Or
I mean, I was hoping to split that into episode two. I don't know if like you guys want to record episode two later in the week, or if we want to tap in Lancey and Jess and do the second half now.
Up to y'all. I gotta call in a minute here, but if you want, I'm happy to do it later this week with Drew or
yeah, I'm down for
or if y'all want to do it now.
I'm down for later too. This week. Yeah.
All right, cool. I'll sit it out.
All righty.
No worries.
How many listener questions we got?
Yeah.
Not many, I don't think, actually.
Let's just do them now.
There's a couple.
Yeah, we got one. Let's just do them quick.
Yeah, there's only a couple. I think there's five. Oh, no, it's not five. It's like four or five. Okay, anyway, listener questions. Here we go. Eric Ripperson at Eric Ripperson says, go to just got fired beer. Lancey replied to that, all of them.
That's a good answer.
But what's your go-to just got fired beer? I think for me, it's got to be like a triple IPA or something.
My just got fired beer is the unofficial light beer, the Brews and Bruins podcast, and that's Miller Lite. Everybody, if you just got fired from your job, reach for a Miller Lite. It'll really satisfy those cravings for just feeling sad and lonely. And I hope you are doing okay. I'm sorry you lost your job.
Please drink responsibly. Miller Lite, yeah. Please drink responsibly.
That ad started off hot and took a real dark
turn. No, it got better as it went. I'm going something comforting, so I'm going like a lunch from Main Beer Company. Plus, you're gonna need to afford lunch. You knock out lunch. You knock out a beer at the same time. It's
there. You one. Go. Yeah, I'm sure that's what it says on the can, like under the
nutrition
standard, whatever.
Calorie wise, probably.
Sean Rajat at Sean _ Rajate. I have one .. And it's a gif of why God, why? Assume that means Cassidy. Same thing, well, not same thing exactly, but same rhythm, same tune from DF Pendris at DF Pendris. The hell is that?
I think that was in response to the picture of the can, which oh. I do agree. The hell is that?
Yeah, it's the Viridian IPA.
Oh, it's a sick shower beer. What do you know?
Sick, yeah, man. I was having a shower beer. This is nice. Before the pod. I texted you guys, tweet this out. My hands are wet, and oh. No one did it.
Yeah, so
I
did it
later. I was at work.
Yeah, hold on, sorry.
I'm having a shower beer and it needs to be documented, Chris. Like, come on. let's see. Next up, from Rob Schlosser at R Schloss 33. Favorite shower beer. I'm just gonna have to say the Viridian because it's documented and I can't go back now.
Favorite shower beer. You want something lighter in the shower, at least usually. I think, I guess it depends on the vibe, but I feel like usually like a hot shower you want something lighter. Mm-hmm. I'm kind of the one that's standing out to me is a Corona. I know it's kind of an easy like little go-to, but toss lime in there, a little bit of citrus going on.
Lime and the coconut.
It's funny you say that because I was going to go with the Modelo lime and salt.
Ooh.
That's been the, so I've been taking most of my showers over at the new house, and that was the beer we had over there for a bit. And most of my drinking was just having one of those beers in the shower and just kind of hit the spot.
I love the idea that most of your drinking is shower beers. That's incredible. That's so wholesome.
I haven't been drinking a whole lot.
That's like some I can't time drink, dad drink on the pod. Right there. It's like, I can only drink in the shower.
So I can't. These are my drinking times. It's in the shower, mowing the lawn.
You'd skip the next one.
And being on the pod.
There you go.
I think it, like, I can't wait to own a house and then I can shower beer whenever I want. Something you can't do while you're renting. It's
number one homeowner activity that you can't do while you're a renter.
Rob, also tell me, why can you not shower beer when you're renting?
That was the joke. There's an
error. Yeah, it was just a little bit.
Like, is there something that I don't know about shower beer? Is it damaging my, like, how would that work?
Yeah, it is.
Renters hate drain.
Actually, it probably helps. No shower beers, no dogs.
The clickbait is landlords hate this.
Yeah. 20 totally legal tricks that landlords don't want you to know about.
You can't have a shower beer if you want.
It's a free goddamn country.
It's number one. Rob's second question here. Who is your pick for new head coach and why is it Lancey?
I feel like Lancey's just like got the knowledge, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And he's got the stoicism behind the bench. You know, you need somebody who you have all that confidence in, when you're down one with 45 seconds left and he calls timeout. You don't want somebody who's just, you know, you can't trust the words that they're saying. You don't really believe in them. Lancey's somebody, as soon as he speaks, you listen and you know that he is telling the truth and he believes all the words the truth. That he's saying. You can't handle the truth.
I'll go ahead and disagree with you. I think Lancey's not a coach. I think Lancey's a GM. I think he's a big picture guy.
Mm.
I think, we've seen his formula sheets, so it's a little bit of cheating. And I know he's an avid stats keeper. I feel like Lancey is a little bit too kind of a soul to be a coach in some ways. I think if you need to get fired up in the third period, I don't know if Lancey's the guy behind the bench, because I feel like, again, he's big picture. He's going to be like, look, guys, if we don't win this one, it's all okay. Right,
I didn't know we were going honest with this one. I thought we were gonna just like.
I mean, either. I feel like
he's gonna say it's all right. We don't need to win this one. We got so many more games left. I just want you guys to have fun and we need our
quiet king up in the front office. Yeah,
yeah. And I feel like he would be good at swindling opposing GMs and sounding nice about it. So, I'm going Lancey for GM. That's not the question, but now it's in what position would Lancey have? That's the question.
The real answer is I don't know who I want.
Probably a ref because he's really fair.
I would say Lancey would have to be like the behind the scenes data analyst.
Yeah, like a stats guy.
Like that would be if I was GM of a team, like I would totally be like Lancey 100% for that shit. Like for many of the reasons Chris has said. And just he's really passionate about that stuff. I would totally been there. But he's the new head coach according to Sweeney. Let's see, was there anything else? Patrick Laverty, aka Plaverty 24, P. Laverty. It's the middle of the summer. There's no new Bruins news, so I can't imagine there's anything to talk about. And then Lancey said more Druid history lessons, actually. So tune in next time for potentially another edition of Drews and Druids.
We'll bless see. Her soul.
Yeah, let's hope there are no Friday news drops.
For real.
I'm going to be at a bachelor party in Austin. And if I'm at like a cowboy bar or whatever with the mechanical bull and I hear that Patrice Bergeron's retiring, I'm going to have some problems.
Please promise that you have content. Somebody gets content if you do that. So
yeah.
Well, everybody, see you for the mechanical bulls and Red Bulls, or I don't fucking know, whatever.
Bulls and Bulls.